Praise God. How beautiful it is that God watches over us. From the book of Hebrews in chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, and this is the first in this series that I shall be bringing to you, the Lord willing. Chapter number 2, there are seven dangers in chapter number 2 that a Christian, perhaps next Sunday morning I'll be bringing to you, should be aware of. But today from chapter number 1, and there's 14 verses in this chapter. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, if you will, skip down with me to verse number 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But under which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I would like to entitle this message today, Two Portraits of Christ in the Book of Hebrews, or the Person and Work of Christ. This epistle is a massive letter. We believe that Paul is the author of it. There's a little controversy, pro and con, about it, but we do not quibble. Most everyone agreed that Paul was the author of this epistle to the Hebrews. But we do know that the letter was written to Hebrew Christians who had moved on from Judaism to Christ, but who, because of the persecutions and the trials that they were facing, were tempted to go back to their former Jewish religion. And that is the theme of the letter. Westcott says that the theme is the finality of Christianity. And Adolf Seifer says that the theme of the book of Hebrews is the glory of the new covenant contrasted with excelling the glory of the old dispensation. But really, in a sentence, the theme of Hebrews is the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. This includes his pre-incarnate glory, his incarnation, his life, his teachings, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, his present ministry as he sits at the right hand of the Father, and his glorious second advent. So if you begin reading, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, Hebrews 1:1, you will immediately be impressed with the splendor and the magnificence of the language which is employed here. Yeah. This opening verse tells us that all down through the ages that God has spoken to men and women through the prophets. And all of this revelation of God by the spoken word was authentic, but it was only preparatory. And when Jesus came, God spoke fully and finally in him. Yeah. But you ask the question which the world is asking today, but who is Jesus Christ? And perhaps there is no more important question than this. Who is he? In this first chapter of the book of Hebrews, there are two inspired portraits or pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we view them separately and then place them together, we get a very beautiful composite picture of the Lord's person and His work. And so portrait number one is given to us in these first three verses that I read to you. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the eternal Son of God. And this is clearly brought out in the opening words of verse number two. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Jesus is the eternal Son of God who became man for our redemption. And the fact that He is the Son of God is asserted in these two verses by seven characteristics which can only be said of deity. And so if you're ready, I'll give you the first picture. And the first seven characteristics which are spoken of deity. Number one, in verse number two, He hath been appointed heir of all things. Notice this, all things He hath been appointed heir. This means that the world was created by Him and for Him. The whole history of this world has been mediated through God's Son. And how great He is, the heir of all things. He has inherited it. It belongs to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I know you may say, Pastor Lindsay, the way the situation looks today, it doesn't look... Yes, He has. He's inherited it, my friend. And He's going to come back. As sure as your name is John Henry Jones, this morning He's going to come back and set up His kingdom, and He's going to rule it and reign it for 1,000 years, that all of the world, according to the book of Romans, may know that He is the heir of all things. Amen. Hallelujah. My. Keep this in your mind and try to take a photographic picture of this with me, if you will. Number two, He is the creator of the universe. This is also in verse number two. He's been appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Hallelujah. Notice worlds here, not just this little one that you and I live on, but the worlds that are out there. Glory to God. He created them. It was by Him that the worlds were made. In John's Gospel, in the first chapter and verse number three, all things, notice this again, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Oh, praise God. Colossians, the first chapter, verse number 16, for by Him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Again, all things were created by Him and for Him. Oh, praise God. This simple statement from the Scriptures is very satisfying in these days when unregenerated men place a question mark over the biblical account of creation. But my friend, it states very emphatically here that by Him all things were made, and He created all things, and not anything that's made, my friend, that He didn't make. Hallelujah. And all that's happening in all of this world and all of men's knowledge is just a little discovering once in a while of something wonderful and beautiful that He made. That's all. Number three, He is the outshining of God's glory. This is in verse number three. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. This is a beautiful expression, and it means the effulgence of His glory. It means a shining forth Just as the glorious sunshine in which you and I revel in is the effulgence of the sun itself, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the very outshining of God. He was in this shining forth of the magnificence and the majesty of the eternal God. Oh, how we ought to bow and worship Him this morning in the very brightness of His glory, the very express image of His person, the outshining of God Himself unto this world in which you and I live in. Hallelujah. Number four, He is the visible expression of the very essence of God. In verse number 3 again, notice this. Who being the brightness of His glory and the very expressive image of God's person. The writer says that He is express image. Have you ever seen anyone? And I was just looking here a little while ago, and I saw a young man, and when I looked at that young man, I could see his daddy. They look so much alike until you think, well, they're twins. They say, well, he is the exact image of his daddy, or she's the exact image of his mother. This is what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying about Jesus. He said, you want to know what God is like? You want to know what your Father is like? You want to know Him? You want to understand Him? His Son is the very express image. Glory to God, the very visible expression of the essence of God, the visible expression of all that God is. In John, the first chapter, in the 18th verse, it said, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Oh, thank God. So this is the express image of Him. Jesus is the exact replica of God. In John the 14th chapter and in the 9th verse, Jesus talking unto Philip, and Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? And he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then show us the Father? Have I been so long time? If you've looked upon me, if you have seen me, then you ask me, what does the Father look like? He that has seen me, I am the express image. I'm the express shining forth of God's Hallelujah. Grand, majestic, glorious presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to know Him, take a look at me, He says. In this marvelous picture that He brings into us here. Number five, He is the upholder of this universe. Not just this little planet on which you and I live in. But notice this. He's the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. Hallelujah. Jesus is not only the heir of the universe, and not only is He the creator of the universe, but He upholds it, and He holds it together, and He controls this universe. And so if you would look with me into Colossians in the first chapter in the 17th verse, and it said, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Scientists has an answer to the mystery of the universe. They've discovered many wonderful things and many wonderful laws. But friends, this morning, behind all the things that scientists discovered, behind all of the laws, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, under whose hand the universe is maintained and moves forward for the fulfillment of His will. And number six, He is the one who has purged our sins. In verse number 3, not only has He created this universe, not only is He upholding this universe, but notice this, upholding all things by the word of His power. Look at verse number 3. When He had by Himself, nobody helped Him. All fled and left Him alone. When He had by Himself, glory to God, purged our sins. Oh, hallelujah. He, my friend, has purged our sins. If you'll notice in this statement, which literally reads, He is made purification. That's what it really literally means. He is made purification for our sins. That is in the past tense. And the purging is past. And there's no future purgatory. The work is finished. It was finished 1900 years ago when he bowed his head upon his chest and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and said, it is finished. The great plan that God had originated from the foundation of the world had been consummated, and the real Lamb had spilt his blood, and not typical or types and shadows, but in reality he had brought all of those under the old Old Testament into this new and living relationship by his death in paying the supreme penalty up on the cross, and purged the sins of all of those who look forward to that moment by the blood of bulls and oxen, goats and heifers and turtle doves and pigeons, and also to you and I that turn and look back at the cross this morning and saying, thank God, in this communion hour he had by himself been made purification for my sins and for my transgression, for my wickedness. This is the picture that you get of him. It's the purpose of the incarnation of Bethlehem, of Calvary, and our redemption. Not only has he been made the purification for our sins, but he is seated in the place of authority. Verse number 3, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Glory to God. Seated this morning in the place of authority with the keys of death and of hell in his hand. Glory to God, for he had to come to his beloved Apostle John on a rocky isle of Patmos and give him the reassurance to bring the message back to the church at Ephesus when he was redeemed from off of that island in which they had left him there for the buzzards to pick his bones. And he shook old John and he said, get up, John. Don't worry about it. Boy, look at this. Here is the keys that I wrestled from the devil, your adversary, when I fought him in the battle. Thank God, on the cross of Calvary and died, I went to the gates of hell and took from him, hallelujah, all authority. And I've ascended back unto my heavenly Father, and I'm now seated in the place of authority by the magic. Oh,
glory to God.
Hallelujah. Oh, can you see this vision of this picture with me this morning? Praise God. I want you to notice the words. Right hand means the place of power and authority. In Matthew 28:19, he turned and said, then go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice also with me in that verse number 3 that he is sitting down. Why is he sitting down, my friend? Because his work is done. There's nothing else to do to redeem mankind from his fallen state. It had all been finished. And he went back, my friend, and he sat down. Listen to me. This is something which no priest of the old dispensation could ever do, because the old priest under the old dispensation, his work was never done. He could never sit down. But oh, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Read with me from Hebrews chapter 10, will you? And from verse number 11. And every priest, listen to this, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
Yes.
Glory to God. When he came back and said, Father, I spill my blood. Yes. I went across, will you accept it? And Father said, accept it. He said, send the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost and the fire fell. Thank God, in answer to his prayer. And he sits at the right hand of God his Father this morning. Notice this. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah. What a picture. This is the first portrait that you get of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1, we see him in the glory and the dignity and the honor of our living Lord. And what a glorious person he is. But there's a second portrait. And it begins at verse number 8 in this same chapter. I think that the reason I wanted to bring you this is because it begins to open up this a little bit more. And each time the sermon comes, it'll magnify and build a little bit further, because this is the way it seems that the Holy Ghost had inspired you. Said, there's something new, Pastor? No. Paul wrote this, I think, so many hundreds of years ago, and he preached it to the church and the Jews who'd accepted Christ. And so I'm just giving you what he is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to notice as he moves now into this second picture, the second portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and he gives it to us. You take a little look at the number 2, verse number 8. Notice again that there are 7 answers to this question. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord is spoken of in verse number 8. But under the Son, notice that he saith. But who is the Son? Who is this one that he's talking about? There are 7 answers to this question that he has here. Number 1, he is the King in his kingdom. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. He's the King. Notice these words carefully. He is the Son, and he has a throne, an eternal throne. And his administration is always right. A crooked scepter is an emblem of an unjust administration. But if you'll notice this, as he says here, O God, forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, which is the scepter of thy kingdom, right and true and holy and just. Thank God, the eternal Son of God, now seated, having purged our sins, made the sacrifice at the right hand of God. And God his Father, because of the sacrifice and the sufferings that he went through to redeem man and bring him back to himself, has given into his hands all authority, all power, all dominion, all worlds. Hallelujah. And has given him a kingdom. And he sits in that kingdom today with a scepter of righteousness ruling and reigning. Oh, glory to God. Number 2, he is the altogether sinless one. In verse number 9, if you'll notice, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hallelujah. Notice that. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. The Lord Jesus Christ is without sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Again with me in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hebrews again, 9th chapter, verse 13 and 14, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Oh, he is the altogether a sinless one, the only one that could pay that redemptive price for my soul and for yours. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Number 3, he is the designer of the universe. And this is in verse 10, and it's a little repetition most of what we have seen in the first portrait, but with further details. And the language is beautiful here, and it's very precise and deeply satisfying. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Oh, this week sometime they're going to get out there and start surveying, begin to lay the foundation of this building. But can you think of all of the earth? Thou, Lord, in the beginning, way back when there wasn't anything even existing except I am existing. Amen. I am existing. Glory to God. They began and they laid the foundation, he says, of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. All of its beauty, all of its magnificence, thank God, are the work of thy hands. How beautiful, you notice, and deeply satisfying this is. And then, number four, he is the eternal creator. The verse number 11, he said, these heavens and these foundations of the earth and these things that you have built, they shall perish, but thou remainest. Did you get that?
Yeah.
These heavens he's talking about, these earths that he's created, that he's made here, they're going to perish, but said, thou remainest. The Lord Jesus will never perish. Everything else will wear out and pass away. You know, even in this hour we think, well, I want something that's going to last. I want something that's going to exist. So we build it out of plastics. We build it out of steel. We build it out of wood. We build it out of concrete. We build it out of everything. But my friend, of everything that we build out of and everything that we build eventually deteriorates and passes away. And it goes back to the dust. You don't realize this until you go into Rome and to the Holy Land and they begin to go back and excavate and find cities on top of cities. And even in England, when after the bombing of World War Number Two, when they was trying to rebuild, they was digging down and trying to clear out the rubble, and lo and behold, if they didn't dig down on a city that the city was built on. And it's the same, the pool of Siloam where Jesus came to the crippled man. When we went there, they've had to dig way, way down. It's covered over. And the thing continues to go back to dust. And if it continues to build and build and build. You know, I used to hear these farmers say that the world is deteriorating and the earth is deteriorating and the land is all washing away. But they claim if you take a real good close check upon this, that you'll find that the land is building up all of the time. It's getting a little deeper. And all of this dust and the deterioration of everything here in this world is piling up and making a little higher. And that where you was a few years ago is deeper down than it is now. And all of the old holy cities and the excavation and everything, you'll find over there. This is the case. The cities are built on top of cities. City on top of city. You talk about a rumbling earthquake one of these days. When Jesus steps out of the balcony of heaven, this beautiful portrait that I'm bringing to you, glory to God, and he gives the signal that the dead in Christ shall rise. And three, four cities down in an old cemetery somewhere, maybe five cities down. Oh, glory to God, I don't know how many cities down. Some of these look like they were way down. Brother, those that have died in Christ and have trusted his promise, they begin to shake and come out of there, and this city's sitting way up on top of three or four other cities. Glory to God, is going to feel a shaking, brother, and out through that crust of earth and dust and concrete and blacktop and whatnot is going to come the bodies of those that have been resurrected by the power of his blood. Oh, friend, there's going to be an earth shaking in one of these days. Hallelujah. Oh, you see, you're fantasy land, preacher. Just leave me out there, will you? Let me float around there a little while. Praise God. Let me dream. Brother, it's a reality. Hallelujah. Thank God he's coming forth, for he's the eternal creator. All of these things, these worlds, these church buildings, everything else, they're going to wear out. They're going to pass away. But thou, Lord, remainest. Thy throne, oh God, is forever and forever and forever. Thy scepter is a scepter of righteousness in the end of thy kingdom. There's no end. Oh, say, friend, look, you may be having a little hard time getting along serving God today. You may be having a little problems. You may be having a little difficulty. But just remember that the old boy that's inspired to write that song, that the trials of life will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Brother was inspired by the Holy Ghost, because it'll be like a woman in travail of child. As soon as she's delivered, as she's happy, she's forgot all about the suffering, the pain, and everything else is care, because she's so excited. Here's this beautiful bouncing baby that she has in her arms now. And the It's the way it's going to be with the Christians. The moment the trumpet sounds, all of the discrepancies of the flesh fall off of us, and all of the sickness and the heart troubles, the cancers, the disease, the afflictions of the bones, the arthritis. Oh, my. There's so many diseases that the medical science can't even keep up with them today. We'll leave them all behind, thank God. When we get there, my friend, the short span of life that we went through with these little things down here will seem as nothing when we get to the end of the way, and our eyes fall upon the beautiful celestial city, New Jerusalem, and fall upon this one I'm talking to you about this morning, and all of the grand, shining forth, majestic splendor of God Himself. Whew. Man, I don't know how you're staying here, but somehow you're still holding on. But that old seat's going to turn you loose one of these days. That old wood that you're sitting on there is going to go back to the dust from which it came. Well, let me go a little bit further. He not only is the eternal creator, He's the unchanging one. In verse number 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. Now, a handkerchief is not a vesture. It's a coat, a cloak, a robe. It takes it off. As a vesture, notice this, shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. Christian, you hear me this morning? You just well get ready for change, because it's coming.
Yeah.
They shall be changed. Change is all about us today. And it's coming rapid, and it's going to come more rapid than what we've ever seen. The Antichrist is pressing. And the devil is making his bid for the last stand. And change is going to come here so rapid and so fast, until these young kids around here now are going to remember the day that they sit in church, like sitting right here, these boys on the front seat. And they said, oh, God, I can remember back in the days when that old horse preacher, he squawked and hollered and shouted around up there. Brother, you think we can remember back 30, 40 years ago how God moved in the spirit and power of the Lord fell? These fellas are going to see such rapid change that we haven't seen anything to what they're going to see when they get our age, if the Lord tarries that long. Notice this, as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. The present system's going to change. There'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth, if I read the Word of God correctly, wherein dwelleth righteousness. He gives it to us in 1 Peter, or in 2 Peter, and the 3rd chapter and the 11th verse, seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements of the earth shall be melted with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness as a vesture. I shall have fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou, Lord, shall not change. Thy years shall remain. Hallelujah. And thou shalt remain the same. With three, Hebrews 13 and 8 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, this is something that you can take hold upon today, my friend. And then number 6, He is the final conqueror. Verse number 13, if you look at it, in this first chapter, number 13, but to which of the angels said He at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Ultimately, He's going to overcome all of His enemies. He is waiting for this time to come when He will manifest His power and come in great triumph, and will put down all of those who oppose Him. Hebrews 10:13, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. Never doubt this, Christians. Never doubt this morning. And make quite sure before you leave this auditorium that you're on the right side. I didn't say for you to join Covenant Assembly of God. We'd be happy to have you if you'd like to fellowship with us. But just make sure that you're on the right side. Never doubt this. Glory to God, for He's coming. Now I'm going to close. Number 7, this is the Lord, and He is the Lord of angels. Verse number 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? Now you watch that verse. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Are you alone today? Do you feel all alone? Oh, I hear so many people say, you know, Pastor, I'm the only Christian in my family. I'm just so alone. But listen to me, the angels of God, messengers, they're God's messengers. He just said this. Or as one has said it, they're God's errand boys. And they are sent forth to minister to all of those who are heirs of salvation. That is, the angels are commissioned by God to look after all of us who belong to Him.
Hallelujah.
And call Him as their Savior.
Lord.
You know, I got one right here now. One right here looking after God. One looking after you. You say you don't have that many? Oh, yes, He's got plenty of angels. Huh? Glory to God. Is this what He said? They're all ministering spirits. Sent forth to minister to them. Do you have a need this morning? Well, all you've got to do is just hand it to that angel. He knows exactly how to get right in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Write out your message. Hand it to the angel. Go somewhere and shut the door. Get out on your knees. That angel will be right there. You won't shut the door. And you may not know how to say a word. You can bow your head and let a puddle of tears flow. And you can do nothing but just groan inside.
Yeah.
But that angel knows what you have need of. Oh, God said, go see about him. He's in need. He's in a trial. Oh, he needs a little financing. Go down and see about that preacher. He needs a little help to build that building. Go down and see about this one. She needs a little help about her children. Her children are straying. They're lost. They're out of tune with God. And the devil is saying, there's no use. There's no use to pray. You know, there's no use to pray. Listen, my friend, talk to that angel a little while. Tell him, thank God to get through to that high priest that's sitting up there making intercession for you. Let him carry the message back. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them and for them that are heirs of this salvation? You think I'm alone? You think you're alone? Oh, what a picture. Thank God. Glory, glory. These two portraits of our Lord show Him to us in the glory of His unique person and all of the sufficiency of His finished work. It's been finished. And He's now sit down at the right hand of the Father.
Hallelujah.
Do you have a need this morning? You say, well, why should I pray? For that angel wants you to pray. He wants to hear what you got to say. Amen? That ministering spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. What do we need this morning? Glory to God. My friend, God has made some plans for us. And you'll see as we continue in this book of Hebrews that there's some plans been made, but we can open our hearts to Him this morning because there's a ministering angel sent to every one of you. Isn't this a beautiful picture that Jesus has given to us? Glory to God. Let us stand together. Our Father, this morning we pray that that ministering spirit that You've sent to each one of us, glory to God, will help us and draw us closer to the side of God than we've ever been before. Hallelujah. For we need it, Lord, in this crucial moment, this great hour in which we live, to bring unity, to bring the presence of Christ, hallelujah, into each of our lives. Oh, yes, Lord, sometimes we become stubborn and unconcerned and we walk out and walk over and walk around it. But thank God You don't leave us. You just keep after us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just keep loving us and keep bringing us. Glory to God this morning until we've asked for forgiveness, until we've sacrificed, until we've made it right. Hallelujah. Until we walk on carrying the cross of Jesus. If that man or woman is here today lost without Jesus and don't know Him as personal Savior, may come to find you this morning. In Jesus' name. As the choir sings one verse, we open the altars and give you an invitation to come with us around the altar and find Him as your Savior. If you're discouraged and despondent and weary, come this morning and let Him bless you, throwing His arms around you. Let that angel that He sent minister to your need, whatever it may be. Walk out quickly. Then we'll close. You've been very kind and patient, and I appreciate it. Thank God. But whatever the need may be, remember He has sent an angel to minister to your need today. Do you have one? Is there any kind of need that you want to meet God with this morning? You have the access to meet Him. You want to come right now. Amen. The altars are open. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for that grace this morning. Glory to God, for it's that grace that taught us how to fear. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, will you come? And if whatever the need may be in your personal life, you come. Prayer room is open. The altars are open. We want to have a great evangelistic service tonight. And I feel a message burning on my heart. I trust that you're here to hear tonight and to accept from Him. And Father, those that have to go, may they go with the presence of Christ in their heart, keeping this picture before their eyes of the great eternal almighty, all-wise, sufficient God's plan, and given to us His Son Jesus, the express image of the brightness of the Father God, that we may know You as our Father in even a greater measure than ever before. And we will praise You for these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.